Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM, FM HD1, Galveston 89.5 FM, and Huntsville 91.7 FM. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on dozens of radio stations in different US and European cities. During this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1176, I will have a couple of segments. First, we will listen to the latest electronic intifada newscast covering the ongoing Israeli genocide, war crimes, and ethnic cleansing in occupied Palestine. During the second segment, I will air the remarks delivered at a press conference held on July 28, 2025, at which the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem and Physicians for Human Rights Israel accused the Israeli government of committing genocide in Gaza. At that press conference, they presented their report with data, legal findings, and testimonies about the deliberate destruction of Gaza's health system, mass civilian killings, and forced starvation. We will hear from Yoli Novak, Executive Director of B'Tselem, Karim Jobran, Director of Field Research at B'Tselem, Asil Abu Ras, Director of the Occupied Territories Department at Physicians for Human Rights Israel, and Dr. Guy Shaliv, Executive Director of Physicians for Human Rights Israel. Let's begin first with the latest electronic intifada newscast covering the ongoing Israeli genocide, war crimes, and ethnic cleansing in occupied Palestine.
This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 664 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. Israel has bombed and attacked areas across Gaza this week, killing at least 640 Palestinians and injuring more than 3,200 between July 23rd and July 30th, according to records from the Ministry of Health in Gaza. On Monday night, Al Jazeera's Tariq Abu Azoum stated that dozens were killed in the central areas of Gaza in what residents there described as one of the bloodiest nights in recent weeks. Quote, 30 Palestinians were killed in Nuseirat refugee camp after Israeli forces struck a number of residential houses. Among the victims are 12 children and 14 women, and witnesses say most of the victims arrived at Al-Awda Hospital torn to pieces due to the sheer force of explosions. Local accounts indicate that Israel used booby-trapped robots as well as tanks and drones during this attack. But elsewhere in Gaza, we also see a relative surge in air attacks, including in the designated safe zone of Al-Mawasi in southern Gaza, where a father and his three children were killed in an Israeli attack on a makeshift tent, Abu Azoum stated. Nearly 100 Palestinians were killed on Monday, July 28th, almost half of them killed while trying to obtain food aid, Al Jazeera stated. The Ministry of Health in Gaza stated that more than 110 Palestinians were killed on Tuesday, including 22 who were shot and killed at food aid points. On Wednesday, July 30th, medical sources reported that at least 75 Palestinians were killed by Israel, including 63 who were trying to acquire food. More than half of those aid seekers were killed in northern Gaza, near the Zikim crossing, where 270 people were also injured. That crossing has been yet another area that Israeli forces have turned into a killing field, along with the U.S.-Israeli so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation aid points in southern Gaza. Journalist Anas Al-Sharif posted this video of Israeli forces firing on Palestinians near the Zikim crossing on July 28th, and just a warning that you'll hear a lot of gunfire. Though Israel allowed a trickle of aid trucks into Gaza this past week, as well as humiliating and dangerous airdropped parcels with the help of the compliant Jordanian army, Palestinians say that not only is it a drop in the ocean compared to the critical need of food, water, fuel, and medicine, but that it is a dehumanizing policy that is helping reinforce Israel's engineered social chaos and starvation across Gaza. On Tuesday, July 29th, the Gaza government media office stated that 109 aid trucks were, quote, subjected to looting and theft as a result of the security chaos that the Israeli occupation is systematically and deliberately perpetuating with the aim of thwarting aid distribution and depriving civilians of it. The Gaza Strip needs 600 aid and fuel trucks daily, which is the minimum required need for the most vital sectors, the media office said. The day before, on Monday, July 28th, the Gaza government media office reported that only 87 aid trucks entered, the majority of which were looted, quote, with direct and systematic Israeli complicity. The Israeli army then carried out what the Gaza government media office said was a complex massacre on Monday, when Israel, quote, initially refused to allow the trucks to enter, then targeted the aid supply points belonging to clans and families, resulting in the killing of 11 security personnel. After confirming their deaths, the occupation authorities opened the way for trucks to enter, only to fall into the hands of criminal gangs and thieves under their direct protection, including drones and live ammunition, which targeted civilians. On July 29th, Gaza's civil defense rescue worker Mohammed Abu Luay filmed himself near the Zakim crossing, where crowds of Palestinians tried to obtain flour from a few aid trucks that entered. Quote, people are coming back carrying bags of flour, and we are going to carry the martyred and wounded from the area people are returning from, he says. May God reward us. They're all coming back with bags of flour except us. Some carry bags of flour, while others carry body bags.
الناس بتشيل طحين وناس بتشيل اكفان رسمي الناس شايله طحين راح نشيل اكفان حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل يا شيخ.
On Wednesday, July 30th, more than 50 Palestinians were killed and 650 were injured when people headed to receive food aid again near the Zakim crossing, according to the Gaza government media office, which called it a bloody massacre. 112 aid trucks entered the Gaza Strip on Wednesday, most of which were subjected to looting and theft, the media office added. Quote, this bloody massacre and previous similar crimes once again confirms that the occupation is using hunger as a weapon of war, cold-bloodedly targeting civilians seeking sustenance, in flagrant violation of all international and humanitarian laws. While continuing to deny that it is intentionally starving Palestinians, the Israeli army bragged that it dropped aid parcels into Gaza this week. The Gaza government media office said that Israel carried out 6 airdrops on Tuesday. Of those 6, quote, 4 fell in areas under the control of the Israeli occupation army or in neighborhoods from which citizens had previously been ordered to evacuate, exposing those present to direct targeting and killing. This renders these airdrops useless and even dangerous to the lives of starving citizens, end quote. The media office said that a limited airdrop operation on Monday, quote, did not exceed half a truckload of aid, and it landed in red combat zones east of the Tufah neighborhood and Jabalia, where the occupation army is present. These areas that are completely inaccessible to civilians. Several European states also announced that they would take part in airdropping aid instead of forcing Israel to open the land crossings. Belgium announced that it was sending one plane carrying medical supplies and food worth about 600,000 euros to Jordan, quote, soon, and that Belgian officials would remain on standby to conduct further drops in coordination with Amman. This comes after Spain and Germany announced that they would also begin working with Jordanian officials to coordinate airdrops. But as Euromed Human Rights Monitor stated, addressing the starvation in Gaza cannot be achieved through superficial or gaudy measures, but requires an immediate end to the blockade and the opening of safe, stable land corridors to enable the regular and sufficient delivery of food, medicine, and fuel. The only real solution is safe, protected land corridors for aid delivery under UN supervision, Euromed added. 400 aid centers once operated in Gaza before Israel dismantled them. They must be restored. Anything less, including these air spectacles, is complicity in genocide. Airdrops aren't about saving lives. They're about masking a war crime and preserving control. Meanwhile, Israeli and American mercenary forces operating the so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation sites continue to trap, injure, and kill starving Palestinians every day. More than 1,200 Palestinians have been killed and more than 8,000 have been injured trying to obtain aid since the GHF began its operations on May 27th, according to the health ministry in Gaza. A group of children who were kidnapped in late June by Israeli forces at a Gaza Humanitarian Foundation site in Rafah in southern Gaza were released this past week and described their brutal torture and detention in Israel's Sde Tamon concentration camp. According to the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, these 10 children joined thousands of other starving people desperately seeking food aid. However, PCHR reports, quote, they found themselves arrested after facing the risk of death under the Israeli army's fire. According to information obtained by PCHR, the 10 children arrived in miserable health conditions at Nasser Medical Complex in central Khan Yunis on July 24th. They had been released by the Israeli army weeks after their arrest near the aid distribution centers established by Israel. They were released via Karmi Abu Salem crossing following their detention and maltreatment, and then were taken to Khan Yunis with the aid trucks. One of the children testified to the Palestinian Center for Human Rights that at the time of the kidnapping, the Israeli soldiers beat him with his hands and a stick and forced him to take off his clothes. He said that he and the other children were all placed inside metal cages that were 1 square meter large, where it was impossible to lay down or sit comfortably, and were given rotten food to eat. Quote, they then took me to a barrack containing 4 rooms with steel mesh roofs and concrete floors, the child said. The rooms had beds without mattresses and only 1 blanket. We were forced to remain seated on the beds all day and were not allowed to move. 3 days later, I was taken to a concrete room where I stayed for 4 days. It seemed like a hatchery for chicks or rabbits, with 4 large and very hot yellow spotlights. There were 25 detainees inside. During our detention, Israeli special units raided and violently suppressed us on 5 occasions. They stormed the room at around 2 a.m., throwing stun grenades inside, beating us with sticks, and electrocuting us. Each raid lasted approximately 2 hours, marked by physical assault, intense fear, and deafening noise. I still bear visible marks of the electric shocks on my left hand. While in this room, I suffered from full-body muscle spasms, convulsions, and 2 episodes of nosebleeds due to my chronic sinusitis. Despite repeated requests for medical attention, no care was provided. When I asked for help, soldiers mockingly told me to drink water to stop the bleeding. The child said that he was interrogated for a full week with daily sessions of 4-hour questioning about, quote, Hamas, tunnels, hostages, cameras, handmade bombs, and identifying houses in my residential area. The interrogator was dissatisfied with my answers because I had no answers to his questions. He beat me with his hands while my feet and hands were tied to a chair. Sometimes the interrogation was done without anger or threats because the investigator already knew detailed information about my family, which made me fear for them. He told me, "You are in Sde Tamon prison." After the interrogation ended, I was taken to what is known as the disco room, where Hebrew songs were played loudly and the air conditioner was set to a high temperature. I was blindfolded and my hands and feet were tied to a pipe all day. I remained there for 7 days on the floor. I was given a very small amount of poor quality food and had to eat while handcuffed. They then returned me to the previous room, where I stayed until my release. Upon our arrival at Nasser Medical Complex, the doctors examined me. I was suffering from shortness of breath and severe muscle spasms. After x-rays and a respiratory steam treatment, I felt somewhat better. Later, my father and relatives arrived and took me with them to our tent. That's one of several testimonies that some of the 10 children provided to the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. Another American mercenary has spoken out about the death traps masquerading as the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation for the second time in as many weeks. Speaking to the news program Democracy Now! On Tuesday, Anthony Aguilar said what Palestinians and human rights defenders have been saying since the GHF opened its killing fields in late May, that these sites are designed to lure, trap, hunt, and kill Palestinians with impunity.
Sites have not only become death traps, they were designed as death traps. All four distribution locations were intentionally, deliberately constructed, planned, and built in the middle of an active combat zone. Some may argue, well, all of Gaza is a war zone. That may be true, but there are parts of Gaza that are direct or that are determined to be active operational combat zones where Israeli defense forces are operating. Those sites were built in the middle of those areas intentionally. It's not by accident. That in and of itself, to designate humanitarian distribution sites to service an unarmed, starving population, to build them deliberately in an active combat zone, is a violation of the Geneva Convention protocols. It's a violation of humanitarian law. And in my opinion, it's a violation of humanity in general. The sites, not only where they were built, all four sites around the perimeter and the roads leading in and out are barricaded by razor wire.
That was Anthony Aguilar. As of July 30th, Israel's engineered starvation in Gaza has killed at least 154 Palestinians, including 89 children, according to records by the Ministry of Health in Gaza. The Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, an international body which monitors food insecurity and the crisis of starvation, warned this week that, quote, the worst-case scenario of famine is currently playing out in the Gaza Strip. Conflict and displacement have intensified, and access to food and other essential items and services has plummeted to unprecedented levels. Mounting evidence shows that widespread starvation, malnutrition, and disease are driving a rise in hunger-related deaths, the IPC stated, adding that the latest data indicates that famine thresholds have been reached for food consumption in most of the Gaza Strip and for acute malnutrition in Gaza City. One in three individuals are going without food for days at a time, the IPC states. Between May and July 2025, the proportion of households experiencing extreme hunger has doubled. The food consumption threshold for famine, what's known as Phase 5, has already been passed for most areas of the Gaza Strip. The IPC said that, quote, immediate action must be taken to alleviate the catastrophic suffering of people in Gaza. This includes scaling up the flow of goods, restoring basic services, and ensuring safe, unimpeded access to sufficient life-saving assistance. None of this is possible unless there is a ceasefire. For infants and children, the effects of severe malnutrition and starvation are becoming catastrophic. Ahmed Alfara, the director of pediatrics and maternity at Nasser Medical Complex, told Al Jazeera on Tuesday that his staff are seeing babies so malnourished that they don't have muscles and fat tissue anymore, just skin over bones. Alfara said that babies with severe malnutrition are experiencing decreased pancreatic enzyme secretions, leaving them more prone to lethal infections. The long-term effects of the lack of folic acid, B1 complex vitamins, and fatty acids that are essential for the composition of the central nervous system can also hinder or stop critical neurological developments. And if they survive, it can make it hard for a child to read or write or achieve normal cognitive growth later in childhood. 4-month-old Zainab Abu Halib died from being starved by Israel this week. Here's Dr. Ahmed Alfara talking about his tiny patient.
The last martyr due to malnutrition is Zainab Abu Halib. Zainab Abu Halib is 6 months old. She was a lovely girl. She born spontaneous vaginal delivery. She's not complaining from any disease, but unfortunately, she has some type of she need some type of milk. We called it extensive hydrolyzed formula, and unfortunately, this formula wasn't available. So the baby got in vomiting and diarrhea. This make severe dehydration and severe malnutrition. This affect her as not gaining weight, and her immunity was in the lowest level or the least level. So she got also a bacterial infection and sepsis. So she was unable to swallow. And she was dead yesterday. I came to the hospital as a body because of severe, severe starvation and unavailability of the special formula for milk that it is suitable for her. This is one of the examples for not allowing and for closing borders against milk and against a special formula of milk for children.
Dr. Tanya Haj Hassan, a physician with Doctors Without Borders, told Al Jazeera that serious health risks remain even after food becomes available again. Quote, all of the cells in your body are altered by this. In the intestines, the cells die, she said, adding that heart cells become weak and thinned, absorption of vitamins and fats becomes difficult, and children often die of heart failure, even when they're being refed. Euromed Human Rights Monitor reported this week that another vulnerable population, Palestinian elders, are also dying from starvation. Quote, approximately 1,200 elderly Palestinians have died in the past 2 months due to Israel's starvation policy, malnutrition, and lack of medical care, all of which have intensified in recent days. But the actual death toll may be significantly higher, Euromed says. Quote, in reality, these deaths result from deliberate starvation policies and the systematic dismantling of the health system, forming a pattern of intentional killing prohibited under international humanitarian and criminal law. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight the terrifying experience of trying to get aid in Gaza by Rifat Ibrahim, writing from Gaza. Rifat documents his journey that he took in early June to one of the U.S.-Israeli so-called aid sites. He writes, quote, I knew we were close to the aid site when I saw a large mass of people gathered in front of me. It had taken us all night to get here. My friend Saada Abu Saada and I had left Al-Mawasi near Khan Yunus at 1:30 a.m. and headed south on the coastal road, Al-Rashid Street, toward Rafah. Neighbors in Al-Mawasi had told us to get to the aid site as early as possible because there were not enough provisions for everyone. We thought that by leaving this early, we had a chance to get food. We walked slowly. On our left were miserable rows of tents. On our right was the seashore, calm on the surface, but with Israeli gunboats lined up along the horizon, close enough to be visible with the naked eye. We were not alone in our walk. Many others were headed the same way. An elderly man leaned on his cane and said in commiseration how hard it is to be hungry. We had 12 kilometers ahead of us, a potentially reasonable distance for a well-fed and nourished person, but we were neither well-fed nor nourished. We walked slowly from exhaustion and hunger. The only calories fueling my body were from scant amounts of lentils and pasta that I had obtained with great difficulty and effort in previous days. My mother, brother, and 5 sisters were back at our tent in Al-Mawasi. Dizzy from hunger, they could barely move. I could no longer bear to see my family wither from starvation. That's why I was walking along the coastal road in the dark on Eid al-Adha, June 6th, tired and hungry, headed toward a so-called American aid center, a place that had declared itself on its social media page as a source of relief. The aid sites run by the American and Israeli-run Gaza Humanitarian Foundation only opened on May 27th, but by early June, it was understood already in Gaza that they were also death sites. Israeli troops were shooting and killing us. Yet the more news spread about these massacres, the more news spread about the aid sites themselves. It is a cruel irony that we are so starved that in the news of massacres, we also hear that there is food available and that there is a possibility that we might get some if we can only survive the site itself. Here we die of hunger, Saad said, and there we may die of bullets. Those are excerpts from The Terrifying Experience of Trying to Get Aid in Gaza by Rifat Ibrahim, writing from Gaza on electronicintifada.net. And finally, as we always do, we wanted to highlight people expressing joy, determination, and resilience across Palestine. Musician and music teacher Ahmed Mouin posted this video of a lesson with 2 of his students. He captions this clip, quote, despite the hardship and the shadow of war, My students Amal and Sara have shown incredible dedication. For the past 4 months, they've been training with me, and their progress has been remarkable. Now playing with confidence and emotion. In the darkest times, music remains our light. That's from Ahmed Mouin with his students Amal and Sara. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.
You're listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston since 2002 and syndicated on other radio stations in different U.S. and European cities. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. On July 28, 2025, Beit Salem, the Israeli Information Center for Human Rights in the Occupied Territories, and Physicians for Human Rights Israel became the first Israel-based organizations to name Israel's actions in Gaza as genocide. In a new report titled Our Genocide, Beit Salem describes the emergence of a genocidal regime in Israel aimed at the destruction of Palestinian society in Gaza. Physicians for Human Rights Israel has published a legal medical analysis documenting the deliberate and systematic destruction of Gaza's healthcare system. Both organizations called on Israelis and international community to take immediate action to stop the genocide, using all tools available under international law. Both Beit Salem and Physicians for Human Rights Israel held a press conference on July 28th to present their report titled Our Genocide. I'm going to air now the remarks delivered at that press conference. We will hear from Yoli Novak, Executive Director of Beit Salem, Karim Joubran, Director of Field Research at Beit Salem, Asil Abouras, Director of the Occupied Territories Department at Physicians for Human Rights Israel, and Dr. Guy Shalib, Executive Director of Physicians for Human Rights Israel. Let's listen in, and we begin with Yoli Novak, Executive Director of Beit Salem.
The report we are publishing today is one we never imagined we would have to write. But in recent months, we have been witnessing a reality that has left us no choice but to acknowledge the truth. Israel is committing genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The report written by us at Beit Salem presents facts, data, and testimonies about how Israel is acting in a deliberate, coordinated, and systematic way to destroy the Palestinians in Gaza, in an attack that aimed at the entire group as such. This has been declared countless times by Israeli officials. This is what is happening on the ground, and this is precisely the definition of genocide. For the past 22 months, we have heard clear statements from the Israeli leadership and military commanders saying precisely what they intend to do: to starve, destroy, and flatten Gaza, a place where no one is considered innocent in their eyes. And then, they sent the military in to do just that, exactly as they promised. So for the past 22 months, we have witnessed unprecedented levels of civilian killings, of deliberate starvation, forced mass displacement, and the total destruction of most infrastructure necessary for human and social existence. The people of Gaza have been displaced, bombed, and starved, left completely stripped of their humanity and rights. The first part of our report describes exactly that, the practices through which the genocide is being carried out and their devastating consequences on the ground. In the second part of the report, we describe the conditions that made it possible for the Israeli regime to become a regime that commits genocide. Throughout history, most societies that committed genocide didn't understand at the time the meaning of what they are doing. Throughout history, most societies that committed genocide did not understand at the time the meaning of what they were doing. Every genocide in history has had a justification, at least in the eyes of those who committed it. A story of self-defense in the face of existential threat, of a war of no choice, or of victims who had brought it on themselves. In many historical cases of genocide, we can identify a triggering event. The horrific and criminal Hamas-led attack on October 7th was such an event. It caused unbelievable pain and fear for Israelis, including us here. We must not and cannot downplay the horror of this attack. It was assault directed mostly at civilians that included countless of grave crimes. Yet, although October 7th was a significant catalyst, other conditions were required in order for the genocide to become possible. Deep processes of dehumanizing of Palestinians, especially in Gaza, the promotion of ideologies of occupation, of Jewish supremacy, of oppression, all these have shaped Israeli society into one capable of erasing people's humanity and losing all empathy or moral obligation towards them. This is a dreadful combination of circumstances that brought us to the reality we are witnessing today. Decades of life under a regime built on separation and fear, together with a collective trauma of October 7th, at the time when the most extreme right-wing government in the history of Israel is in power. Together, this created the conditions for a deliberate destruction of the Palestinian people in Gaza. This is a call for help, but also a warning. In Gaza, the situation worsens with each passing day. The bombings continue, children keep dying of starvation, people are being shot to death while trying to get food or die due to lack of medical aid. At the same time, there is also a very real danger to the lives of Palestinians across all areas under Israeli control. In the West Bank, we are witnessing violence on an unprecedented scale and a spillover of the same practices Israel is using in Gaza. This comes as no surprise. The regime is the same regime, the army is the same army, and there is no mechanism, either local or international, to offer protection to Palestinians. That's why we are compelled to state this clearly and issue a clear warning. Any small trigger could lead the genocide to expand to other parts of the area under Israeli regime. I will end with this. We call this report our genocide because that's what it is. A genocide committed against people who live here by the people who live here. In order to write this report, we, Israelis and Palestinians, had to look at reality together through the shared perspective of the human beings who live on this land. Together, we stand before you now to bear witness to this reality. as human rights defenders, as Israelis and Palestinians who live between the river and the sea. The state of Israel is committing genocide in the Gaza Strip. And in the face of this fact, in the face of genocide, our duty is to struggle to stop it. The international community has not only failed in its duty to stop the atrocities, but also share responsibility by providing support that enables Israel acts of destruction. We call for an urgent action from international community, from the Israeli society, and from every person who's listening to us. Genocide, at its core, is an assault on humanity itself. And as such, it forces us to ask, what does it mean to be human? The answer these days must come in action. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yuli. We will now hear from Karim Gibran, the director of B'Tselem's Field Research Department. Please, Karim.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Karim Gibran. I'm a Palestinian. I live in East Jerusalem. I have lived my whole life under the Israeli apartheid regime and occupation, with no citizenship rights. I have worked in B'Tselem for 21 years, and I am director of the field research. For 21 years, I have received reports and testimonies about crimes committed by the Israeli occupation all over the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Violence, humiliation, killings, I thought I had seen everything. But what we are seeing in Gaza now is something we have never seen before. I am afraid that if it doesn't stop now, things will get even worse. I am already a grandfather, and I always know my grandchildren would face a hard future here. But now I am afraid that we'll have no future at all. It is as simple as that. When Israel bombed Gaza in 2008 and killed more than 1,000 Palestinians, people were shocked. In the 2014, Israel killed more than 2,000 Palestinians in Gaza. In 2018, during the Great March of Return, Israel placed snipers who shot participants with live ammunition and killed over 230 people, including children, journalists, and medics. We watched all this with horror, and we saw that no one was held accountable. Already then we understood that for the Israeli system, Palestinian lives mean nothing. Still, deep inside, we didn't believe we would see the day that Israel would destroy all Gaza. Now we are seeing it happened in a clear, systematic, and planned way. For years, the international community done nothing to stop Israeli violence, the occupation, and apartheid. The lack of action is now allowing the genocide to happen. World leaders, especially in the United States and Europe, that are not taking real steps to stop it, are sharing responsibility in the horrors. The report we wrote is based on testimonies, data, and investigations. The report shows a terrible picture, mass killing, deliberate destruction of infrastructure and living conditions, total destruction of the social fabric of schools, universities, hospitals, mass arrests, abuses of prisoners, hunger, forced displacement. At the moment, no one can truly understand the size of the catastrophe. Every day, we learn about new horrors. Since October 7, at least 58,000 people have been killed, which is about 3% of the population of Gaza. But the current estimatic is that this number is much higher. Estimate is that this number is much higher. More than 2,200 families have been completely erased. 93% of the population of Gaza is suffering severe food insecurity. Of those, 244,000 is what's called a catastrophe hunger. The fifth and most severe level. Over the last few days, there was been a dramatic increase in the number of people dying from starvation, and the situation is only getting worse. Israel has also added the ethnic cleansing of Gaza to the official goals of the war. In the report, we analyze how all this is direct result of policy openly declared by Israeli leaders and military commanders. That leads us to clear conclusion. Israel is working in a deliberate, coordinated way to destroy Palestinian society in Gaza. That is the definition of genocide. You must understand what it means that the Israeli regime is committing genocide. It means we are in a new phase. We need to understand what this means for everyone in the region. It means that for the Israeli regime, killing, starving, and destroying is an acceptable way to ensure Jewish supremacy. That fact that affects all Palestinians, not just those in Gaza. At Beit Salem, we have also documented a sharp rise in Israeli violence in the West Bank. Israel is doing everything to break the spirit of the Palestinian people using checkpoints, arrests, and lockdowns on whole cities. We are seeing more airstrikes and demolition of neighborhoods in West Bank cities. Tens of thousands of people have already been displaced by the army. Settlers have driven out 38 Palestinian communities from their homes with full backing from the state and the army. Dozens of other communities are in immediate danger. Forced mass displacement in the West Bank is happening right now. Anyone who doesn't understand Israel is committing genocide in Gaza is choosing to look away. And anyone who thinks that genocide will stay only in Gaza is also closing their eyes. Powerful forces within the leadership of Israel have declared that they are preparing to annex the West Bank. For them, the fate of Jenin is the same as the fate of Jabalia. They don't want to see Palestinians here. In our report, we warn that appropriate trigger can bring the genocide to Jenin and Nablus, Hebron. Every Palestinian grows up with stories of the Nakba of 1948. Today, we were watching our worst nightmares come true. I want to say something about the name we choose for the report, our genocide. In this darkness, the fact that Palestinians and Israelis at Beit Salem are working together, resisting together, fighting together, gives a glimmer of hope. We are all paying a price. First of all, Palestinians in Gaza, and also in the West Bank and inside Israel. are paying a heavy price. But I appreciate the courage of my Jewish colleagues who are paying a social and personal price for speaking the truth and standing for up for humanistic values. We will not give up. This is our homeland. We will stay and struggle for our freedom. When genocide is happening, every person in the world must ask themselves, am I standing by or am I doing everything I can to stop it? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karim. We will now hear from Asil Abouras, the director of the Occupied Territories Department in Physicians for Human Rights Israel. Please, Asil.
Khulut found out she was pregnant 1 month before the war began. Then the bombing started, and her family was displaced again and again, walking for hours with no access to care. That is what Khulut told us in an interview. We continued through the war, knowing hospitals were full of the dead, no anesthesia, no care for me or for the baby. I was terrified that I would give birth and bleed to death, because there was no one to help us. We walked constantly exhausted and afraid something terrible would happen to me or the baby. The hospital was far away from where we were. There were no checkups, no monitoring, no support. Khulut gave birth, well displaced, far from any functioning hospital, afraid every step of the way. Today, there are 50,000 pregnant women in Gaza. Next month, 5,500 are expected to give birth, 1,400 by C-section. None will deliver in safe, equipped hospitals. Many, like Khulut, will give birth in overcrowded tents, without anesthesia, without clean water, without trained staff. Since the war began, care has collapsed. Birth rates have dropped by 41%. One in five babies is born preterm or underweight. 92% of infants aged 6 months to 2 years are not getting enough to eat. This happened because Israel blocked aid, denied care, destroyed hospitals, along every life-sustaining support. For nearly 2 years, Palestinians, international volunteers, and humanitarian organizations have raised the alarm. Israeli army is targeting hospitals, cutting off fuel and aid, issuing evacuation orders, and bombing indiscriminately, forcing entire communities to flee. Doctors are killed and unlawfully detained and tortured. It is destroying health infrastructure systematically. This is not chaos. This is a strategy. The report Physicians for Human Rights Israel are publishing today shows a systematic attack on health. It is a deliberate, cumulative dismantling of Gaza's health system, and with it, its people's very ability to survive. As Israel bombed and besieged hospital, cut off fuel to hospitals in northern Gaza in the beginning of the war, patients and displaced families were forced to flee south, overwhelming already fragile, barely functioning facilities in Deir el-Balah, Khan Yunis, and Rafah. The collapse of care in one area triggered breakdowns everywhere. When Al-Shifa collapsed in the beginning of the war, Al-Nasser was flooded with patients. When Al-Nasser was dismantled, the European hospital began to break down. With each assault, Israel destroyed more hospitals, killed and detained more staff members, and blocked more essential services. But this was not just a war on hospitals. It is a war on the conditions of life that make survival even possible. Israel destroyed water infrastructure, bakeries, farmland, and blocked or weaponized aid. This triggered severe malnutrition spreading through the strip, especially among children. With hospitals bombed, equipment destroyed, and medications depleted, long-term care is now virtually impossible. Dialysis, maternal care, cancer treatment, diabetes management, all have collapsed. Life expectancy in Gaza has already dropped by nearly 35 years. Even if Israel ends its military offensive today, the damage has been done to Gaza's health system will continue to kill through starvation, through infection, through chronic disease. Deaths that could be prevented will continue for years. This is not a temporary crisis. It is a deliberate removal of a population's ability to survive. This is not a collateral damage. This is not a side effect of the war. This is a systematic creation of unlivable conditions. It is the denial of survivability. It is a genocide, and it's happening right in front of our eyes, right now. Governments and international bodies must act now. Compel Israel to cease fire, protect and rebuild Gaza's health systems, reinstate UN, international and Palestinian support mechanism, allow free and safe passage for humanitarian aid, and ensure the safety of healthcare workers. These actions are critical and must be taken immediately.
Thank you very much, Asil. We will now hear from Dr. Guy Shalev, the Executive Director of Physicians for Human Rights Israel. Please, Guy.
Thank you. As we sit here, starving, exhausted, and injured Palestinian civilians are dying. They are dying because of deliberate Israeli policies. Policies that the humanitarian community has warned about for nearly 2 years, to no avail. Inaction by governments and the resulting impunity have brought us to this horrific moment. From the start, what we are witnessing is an attack on the people of Gaza and their ability to survive. As early as October 13, 2023, just 5 days after the horrendous Hamas-led massacre in Israel's south, the Israeli military issued evacuation orders for 22 hospitals in Gaza City and the northern part of the strip. Where were the thousands of patients and wounded supposed to go? How could they be evacuated while the entire strip was under heavy bombardment? What medical services would be available for the 1 million residents under evacuation orders? Every person, and certainly health professionals, should have asked these questions, even as the pain from the October 7th attack burned in our bodies. The evacuation orders were the opening shot of an unprecedented attack on Gaza's healthcare system. From the start, Israel portrayed hospitals as legitimate military targets, justifying attacks that would never be tolerated anywhere in the world. Israel claimed Hamas used the hospitals for military purposes, but these claims were unverified and bore no relation to the comprehensive, absolute destruction of an entire system. Over the course of 22 months, Israel systematically dismantled Gaza's health and life-sustaining systems. As assaults continued, medical care collapsed in a cascading sequence, each phase worsening the damage of the last one. Israel's total siege on Gaza deepened the collapse. Patients were barred from being evacuated. Border crossings were closed. Israel almost entirely blocked humanitarian aid. We documented these developments extensively. And based on a careful legal analysis of the facts, we state with a heavy heart, this is a genocide. Today, Physicians for Human Rights Israel is publishing a report detailing Israel's actions in Gaza. We focus on Article 2C of the Genocide Convention, the deliberate infliction of conditions of life calculated to bring about the group's destruction. This legal definition acknowledges that genocide can occur through systemic and infrastructural means, not only through mass killings. We show how Israel's actions have led to the destruction of the conditions necessary for the survival of Palestinians in Gaza. Systematic destruction of the healthcare system, denial of access to food, blocking of medical evacuations, and using humanitarian aid to advance military targets all indicate a clear pattern of conduct, a pattern that reveals intent. Amid this horror, our colleagues and friends, the healthcare workers of Gaza, are acting heroically to save lives, while they themselves are under direct attack. More than 1,500 healthcare workers have already been killed. More than 300 have been detained. It is our duty to support them, ensure their protection, and insist on accountability and justice. Silence in the face of genocide is not an option. We want to stress, confronting genocide is not only the responsibility of legal and political institutions. Confronting it demands urgent action from the global health community. As health professionals and humanitarian actors, we call for global solidarity to defend life, health, and dignity. The destruction of Gaza's health system must end now. We demand the immediate cessation of the attack on Gaza. Lift all restrictions blocking access to life-saving medical care, food, water, humanitarian aid, and essential health infrastructure. Stop the killing. Stop the starvation. Stop the genocide.
What you just heard were the remarks delivered at a press conference held on July 28, 2025, at which Beit Salem, the Israeli Information Center for Human Rights in the Occupied Territories, and Physicians for Human Rights Israel presented their new report titled Our Genocide, accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. I have a link to the full report, Our Genocide, on our website, arabvoices.net. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston since 2002 and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. Our shows are archived online and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.